Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Julian Monaghan, and of course, Gareth Dixon of Ranger Things. Gents, cracked eggs is the phrase I've got in front of me. An Easter period that has been described as pointless, I hope only in the footballing sense. No points from either the Blackburn game or the Derby game. But the good news is that QPR are at least safe.
Yep.
Safe from what?
For now.
Safe from relegation. Not much else at this moment in time. It was it wasn't the greatest. I mean, they're both contrasting performances, home and away. The Blackburn one was disappointing with the goals we conceded. The Derby one was just another farcical refereeing decision. But I think, how many is that? Three or four this year we've had that have been just really, really bad refereeing decisions. And you felt a little bit for them because they went up there and battled and they scrapped. But they didn't get nothing for it at the end of the day, and anything over Frank Lampard would have been good. Blackburn was just, they outplayed us, they outfought us, and they outfootballed us. They just came down with a kind of, you know, end of season's here, Dak's going to get in pockets, Graham's going to be nuisance up front, Armstrong's going to play out wide, and it's everything that QPR haven't been. They played with a sense of freedom, and it was just not very good to watch that because they looked better than they were.
Yeah, and it felt like, I unfortunately missed the Swansea game, so it was almost an aberration of my mind, but it felt like the energy was gone again. It was a bit flat from us. Although I did think, you know, I thought 1-0 half-time was about fair. It's a shame that we gave a penalty because that kind of killed it a bit. It felt like it was going to be a low-scoring game. I thought they played well on the width. They really sussed us out by playing. Armstrong was literally hugging the byline. It felt to me like they knew Manning wasn't a proper left-back because he played quite well in the first game. At Millwall, I thought he did all right. But yeah. I thought he got found out here because they attacked him with pace. And when they ran at him, he kind of got beaten on a few occasions. And then they crossed the ball a lot. Obviously, when you got Graham up front, they know he's going to nod the odd one in.
I still think his Rabona was probably one of my highlights, though, against Blackburn. You not see his Rabona?
Oh, yeah. But when you watch the highlights, they don't show where the ball landed.
Well, it landed to Wells.
It went a bit over him. It was a bit too far.
Of Wells? No, yeah, I thought it was a good chance.
It was okay.
I thought it was all right.
I think if a Rabona goes anywhere...
Oh, it was class. It was really good.
If you make contact with the ball after attempting a Rabona, I'm impressed. Derby, disappointing. Not so much in terms of performance, because there were chances. Smith could have won it late on before Derby did. But the refereeing performance is one that I think QPR fans not particularly delighted with.
No, it's awful. I mean, if you watch it, it's not even close. You even watch where the referee stood. He can't see that Freeman's got in front of him, so he's guessed.
He's panicked.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think he's panicked. He's gone great. I've been looking forward to giving him a penalty, and now I can.
Do you think it's that straightforward?
He was building up to it. It was this, it was like a theatre for him, and he was building up. But he couldn't manage to kind of... the atmosphere of Derby, which was, they were quite flat, to be fair. We stopped them playing. They looked quite ordinary. You'd think a Frank Lampard team would come and pop the ball around. Their best outlet was a long diagonal ball. We pressed them. We did all right. We got amongst them. They couldn't get out at times. Our pressure heart of the pitch was good. But the referee was, you know, when you get them 50-50s or you don't get the 50-50s, you don't even get the 60-40s. And like, people are looking at him
what
going,
about the 70-30s?
If you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Drop ball.
But it was like he was building up for it. And it's just a shame that we live in, you know, 2019, and one man can just dictate a whole performance with a ludicrous decision. I mean, the ball was out of play. Just go and have a chat with the linesman. You know what? You're going to build up the drama a little bit. Go and have a... You're nearer. Can you see it? What did you see? Did he get the ball? I think he got a touch. No penalty.
Is he 100% sure that's a penalty? And you can't be, from the angle he's standing at, he can't be. So I always think you should be in a position with penalties where more of them are not given. And you think, well, I could understand why the referee didn't, because he's
so
not
100%
sure.
You would err on the side of the defender.
You should, if the rule is you've got to be absolutely convinced it's a penalty. From where he's standing, he can't be, and the lino's got a better view. So he's got to go over and say, I think he took out the man, And the Lionel will clearly say, no, Freeman was in front of him and took the ball quite cleanly.
Yeah.
Now, Freeman probably shouldn't have gone to ground. He didn't have to. Late in the game, if you've got a referee that's giving 50-50s to the home crowd, you're probably thinking, you know, don't give him an excuse. But we gave him that excuse and he took it with a big smile.
But it wasn't just that. It was the 9 minutes of added on time as well. I mean, we were being awful. We were wasting time here, then everywhere. But to give 9 minutes is pretty bullshit. There was a few injuries. But, I mean, I think there was more in the Blackburn game. Cousins, we haven't mentioned, had quite a bad-looking injury, which I don't think is as bad after they've had a look at it and stuff. But it looked bad. And the game was stopped for about 6 minutes, the Cousins one. And we had 6 minutes added on. Don't factor in the goal, the substitutions. There was another injury. Danny Graham was going down because I think he caught his hairband caught in his eye at one point. And it was all a bit of a nonsense, really. Then get 6 minutes added on and then get 9 minutes of derby. It's like, who's moderating this? Who's reviewing these decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, talking of reviewing decisions, it's interesting that review should be the word you chose there, because I know we're not talking about VAR coming into the Championship next season. We will see it in the Premiership, in the Premier League, I should say. Do you think...
And we've seen it in the Champions League to big effect.
Do you think it will improve things? I mean, for example, if we look at that decision made on the Freeman challenge, the ref could actually have a look from a better angle.
For me, the one thing they've got to change on VAR is they've got to make the decisions faster, and they haven't got to allow it just to be the man on the pitch making the decision. If someone in a little booth can see that it's clearly not a penalty, he should just say, it's not a penalty. Don't make him run off the pitch.
No,
have a quick look.
No.
Do you not like the drama on
No, I don't. Here's what I'm scared of is can happen with VARs. Look at what happened to Man City, that massive celebration. And a bit like we do, I always do it now. I've been doing it all my life. You immediately, as a goal, first thing I do is I look to linesman. But it's almost instant. If you're suddenly thinking, that's a last-minute goal, that's got us in the Champions League semi-final, and you think, I'll just wait a few seconds until I'm really sure, it could take an edge off it. So they've just got to make the decisions faster. I think they can do it faster. They just take a bit of control away from that guy on the pitch and give a bit more to the guys you've got that got the seven or eight screens and say, you make it within a few seconds. Not, you know, you do the celebration, you take your shirt off, you run around the goal, and then you find out it's not a goal.
It has to be quicker. I mean, we're both rugby fans. I watch quite a bit of rugby league now. I enjoy it, what rugby league is. And they do review decision. They're starting to do it a bit too much in rugby league because they think we got it there, we should use it. I think, and people always worry about it slowing the football game down, but that ball's gone out for a corner or a goal kick or a penalty kick. There's three things that could have been there. And all he has to do is go, look, I'm on the field of play. I'm not sure he's got the ball. If there's a touch, it's a corner. And that's it. Review it. It's a corner. And it's done. And it doesn't take long. You don't have to over-dramatise it, but we need something because the standard of officiating is getting worse. And who wants to be a referee, right? But it is getting worse and something needs to be done about it.
VAR could be the solution, but it's got to be used
faster.
Properly faster. And faster is the point being made. Coming up, we'll be talking to Richard Langley, former QPR midfielder, a real fan favourite at the club, to get his take on the current state of things at Loftus Road. We might even ask him about VAR.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with Johnny Burrow and Julian Monaghan and Gareth Dixon of the Ranger Things podcast. And gents, it's time for your first clue of this week's Who Are You, which is... I began my career at Norwich City and I had multiple spells with them throughout my career. So this is a man who knows Norwich City rather well. A team, of course, who have to wait for their promotion to the Premier League to be confirmed after drawing 2-2 with Stoke. It's still looking likely, however, and if only things had been going so well for QPR and if only the referees had been paying a bit more attention. I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by former Rangers midfielder Richard Langley. Good evening, Richard. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Were you outraged, like my friends here in the studio were, at the end of that game against Derby?
Was that with the penalty that we conceded in the last minute?
That's the one.
It looked like Freeman, it was Freeman, right? Looked like he dived in again. I don't know, I couldn't, the highlights that I watched didn't give me a clear sight with regard to what went on just beforehand. So I just saw Freeman look like he went to ground and took the player out.
You must have been watching in SD. if you didn't see that,
well,
he clearly got the ball.
Did he get the ball as well?
The view here, Richard, is that it wasn't a foul.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
That's all right. But looking more broadly at the game, did you feel that QPR were unlucky to perhaps not take something away from it against Derby?
Well, I saw both teams in the high. Again, I only watched the highlights. Both teams had some clear-cut chances, which they'd have been disappointed not to have put away. And I suppose you're on the kind of run that we're on where nothing's really been going for us. You know, those chances that were inches away from going in the back of the net, they just didn't happen for us.
No, and I think that was the main difference, Richard. I think that if we had taken our chances in a couple of the previous games, it would have been a big difference because we've set our stall up quite well, actually, and we've gone at it from the very first minute, and it just didn't work for us in front of goal. Hemed had a chance when it was 1v1. It didn't work out. Just sticking on the referee a little bit, do you think, having played the game professionally, do you think referees can be turned by a crowd or turned by people like Frank Lampard, who wasn't shouting and screaming, but is a name and a face? Are they strong enough to referee the game on its merits at times?
I think they're all professional. They're getting paid to do a job nowadays. It's changed a lot, I suppose. So, you know, back in the day, you could really sense that some referees had a certain bias towards crowds or managers. I would like to think that's not in the game anymore, knowing that they are, you know, they're getting together on a regular basis. They're discussing the professional side of the game, and I'm sure they're looking to eradicate that as much as we are as fans. You know, there's no room for that. You know, we want to have as many strong, capable, efficient referees as possible.
And we're currently still managerless in a sense, but John Eustace has come in and has filled his brief, really, in terms of keeping us up as well as results going his way. What do you think of how he's done after McLaren's left, and do you think he's got a chance for the permanent job?
He's tried to steady the ship. He's got a very difficult job, I have to say, as has any manager that comes in and tries to hold the fort at QPR. It's a very difficult situation. We've got players who are out of contract on a lot of money. A lot of players not performing to the heights that we thought they'd reach when they arrived. And it's a really tricky wicket, really, for any manager. Whether he's going to get the job full-time or not, I don't know. I went to the Blackburn game, and it was disappointing at times, to say the least, to see us just hoof the ball as far as we could without any real idea of how to construct a few passes and break the opponents down. And Blackburn came, as they have done year after year at this ground. I remember losing to them on a few occasions at Loftus Road. But yeah, they came and they dominated, I thought, and they were worthy winners. But I would like to see something else. I would like to see some adventure, perhaps is the right word. We've got the young guy, Ibire, is on the bench. Apparently, according to people I've spoken to, he lost a lot of confidence under the last manager, McLaren. It would be nice to see Eustace give him a run in the team between now and the end of the season and those last two games. But yeah.
Is there anyone you saw, as you saw the Blackburn game, and I agree it was a bit disappointing and they did dominate for long spells, but who would you keep? There's a lot of those players out of contract, and you know, Eze's definitely going to be there next season unless we get money for him. So was there anyone out there you'd keep, or do you think we should get rid of all of them and then just try and start fresh, get someone new in, pluck players out from the lower divisions?
I think it'll be very tough. You'll be going back to the days when Ian Holloway first took over, when literally we were down to maybe three or four players, and he rebuilt the new team like within a pre-season. I can't see us being able to do that and survive. So we're going to have to keep hold of some players and have some form of nucleus there. But the youngsters coming through, I think we've got to base the team around those and then inject a bit of experience. But we need to find the right characters, which is what we've struggled to do over the last few years. You know, I think we've managed to get players in, probably overpay them, and then they have underperformed, and we haven't got value for money, and then players have ended up sitting around on a 2-3 year contract, and that's been no good for us.
And who do you fancy is going to come in and do that job? Who on the names you've seen touted around has got that pedigree to kind of do, you know, the tactic you've just described?
Well, I think Tim Sherwood's name has been branded about. I've met Tim a few times. He knows his stuff.
There are visible grimaces in the studio around me, Richard.
Oh, really?
I'm not joking. Visible grimaces.
Okay. I'm just giving you my personal opinion. I haven't heard too many names touted about. I think Gareth Ainsworth, well, his name is up there. I know he'd probably be a fan's favourite. Tim Sherwood, for me, he ticks all the boxes. In my opinion, he's going to want to bring through youth, and we've got a lot of youth in the team at the minute. He's a guy that will command respect, I think, from experienced pros. You know what it's like nowadays. You get these pros coming in on so much money. It's I think you need either the right character in a manager or someone that's been there and done that and can garner the respect of the players straight away, you know. I think he'd have that. And with his experience, I suppose, playing at the top level, managing at a couple of big clubs in Spurs and Aston Villa, I think he could do well. But then you never know. If you give it to Gaz Ainsworth, he might be able to get the fans behind him and really get QPR rocking again.
I think if Sherwood...
What are the managers?
Warburton is one of the favourites.
Warburton's had a second interview. Carlos Carvajal was linked recently. Birch was being mentioned. I think before Eustace came in and did that job, I think Birch was kind of going to come in and just keep us up and see where we're at. But, I mean, to be honest, Richard, the list isn't the most inspiring and the kind of the betting market hasn't changed much in it. So I don't think anybody knows at the moment, to be honest with you.
You interested?
No. I'm a fan at the minute.
Good answer.
It's a difficult job, isn't it? It's such a difficult job.
Oh, yeah, humongously difficult. And I've done well. I mean, I think off the pitch we've done well in terms of cutting the budget. I mean, Lee Hughes has come in and done a good job in difficult conditions. But it's like, where's the aspirations? Where do we go next? And I just wanted to ask you about all those out-of-contract players. What's it like? I don't know if you've experienced it, but all those players knowing that they're going to be leaving or uncertain, what can the atmosphere be like at the club at the moment, thinking they're only going to be here for a couple more weeks?
Well, we had the same situation just after Ollie left in, I think it was 2005. And I think he brought in, maybe it was a day before he left or a week before he left, he signed about six loan players, just like it was a crazy thing to do. And players were left there in the squad to the end of the season. We had players with a year left on the contract. And a lot of people just down tools, to be fair. I think we were safe. And I remember categorically players just down in tools and just waiting for the end of the season and ready to go and plan their next journey. So it's not a nice place to be in. It's not a nice changing room, you know, when you're having change all the time, because no one feels comfortable or secure. You want that security to be able to make the most out of a changing room. And when you've got too many players leaving or not that concerned about staying, it doesn't promote the right atmosphere, in my opinion.
And just to take you back in terms of what you said a minute ago about being more adventurous, talk to us about this kickoff routine, because this is something that's crept into the game at the moment where the ball is played back and it's just lumped forward. Against Blackburn, we did it twice. First time we conceded a goal, and then Masluongo did it again, and I think we nearly conceded
it
again.
As well.
What's the rationale behind that? Why aren't we not good enough just to play it back and keep it?
This is probably... I don't get it. You're 2-0 down. I think we went 2-0 down, right? And we took kickoff, launched it up in the air, and the fans, it was a tangible sigh, you know, of like, what is this? Let's try and keep hold of the ball and build an attack. But I think maybe in my experience, I remember managers saying, right, win kickoff, let's put it into the channel, let them defend, and we'll get onto them and get on the front foot. But I don't think that kind of makes sense at all, because you're just relinquishing possession. And especially when you're two goals behind, you don't want to be just kicking the ball away. And so that was quite confusing.
He put it straight down. I mean, Masluongo divides opinion. I'm not the biggest fan. I think he runs around a lot. But his ball distribution for me isn't great. And twice, he didn't put it in the channel. He put it straight down the centre-half throat anyway. What's your prediction? We're playing Forest now. A team that we beat away for the first time ever this season, a highlight of the season. What do you think the result will be on Saturday?
I think we'll have to show a lot more adventure and bravery if we are to get anything from the game. The games I've watched, when we have shown that bravery to get the ball down, we have tended to create more. I'd like to see Luke Freeman get on the ball and be more effective in the opposing half.
And stay on
his feet.
Stay on his feet in his own box.
Well, yeah, keep him out of our box and keep him in the final third. Also, I'd like to see Ibire play and get some minutes and just build his confidence, because he was flying high at the start of the season, and then all of a sudden he's had a drop in confidence, and I think he's got a great talent, but he just needs to be able to focus on where he's going to be most effective on the pitch. It would be nice to think that we could give them a game, but they are not going to be a pushover. And if we come or address the game with the wrong attitude, it could be disappointing.
Absolutely. Richard, so nice to speak to you. Thanks very much for your time. Richard Langley there, former QPR midfielder. Interesting to get his take on the potential new boss, because he disagreed with you two spectacularly. He said, listen, you know what, Tim Sherwood, I think he's got all of it.
Sherwood comes in, one good thing is we'll get rid of the pink away kit and we'll have Gillet away kit instead.
Unorthodox, but perhaps successful. Coming up, if it isn't going to be Sherwood, and I know you two are hoping that it isn't, we'll be talking about who the next QPR manager.
This is Love Sport.
It's the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and for now, a certain Mr. Eustace is in charge at QPR. He's kept them up, doing a decent job, but probably not going to get the job.
Probably not.
There are other
names. You changed your tune after a week. Last week, you wanted him in.
I was saying he should maybe get the job, because who else? Why else?
Because he'd won 4-0 and you got it too excited.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaeritis.
No, he got the 0-0 at Millwall as well, which was probably the pivotal result for us to show some character, go there. And in fairness, you get what you get, but we could have got a 0-0 at Derby yesterday. Mm-hmm. And
could have got a 1-0.
Could have got a 1-0, but I think a draw would have been a fair result, to be honest with you. Blackburn, all right, that wasn't great. Norwich, he didn't have time to do it. But I was thinking, I still maintain this, who else is going to do it? At QPR, it's a madhouse. You've got too many people calling the shots. It doesn't matter who you are. You could have Alex Ferguson in there. It doesn't really matter.
Well, Tim Sherwood said it's worth considering.
Well, that's nice.
Incredibly arrogant way of phrasing it. Do you think
he's not
going to
interview the board like Mark Hughes did? I'm interviewing the board type thing. I can see why Richard Langley has said about Sherwood going in and being able to manage the egos, probably off the pitch rather than on the pitch, because there's not going to be that many big name egos on the pitch to manage next season, because they're all leaving. So that are there.
Just
if they're
empty dressing room and him.
Maybe his own ego. Started a row in an empty house type thing, or an empty changing room. But it's, I spoke about a few of the names there mentioned. I mean, who's going to come and do it? I don't think it matters. I maintain that. With the likes of Lee Hughes, Les Ferdinand, Tony Fernandez, the rest of the shareholders, I keep saying it. But the one name that I would look at the moment would be Danny Cowley at Lincoln for what he's done after looking at it for a long, long time and who's in the lower leaguers. Otherwise than that, it'd be Gaz Ainsworth. And you're risking destroying a legend there. He's kept Wickham up now, so it doesn't matter, so he could come to us. But I really like what Danny Cowley's done. He's obviously gone into 3 clubs now in the non-league circuit, in the league circuit, and done really well. And he's 40, he's young, he's bright, he's ambitious. He's probably the best thing in the lower leagues, and give him a job.
Oh, absolutely.
And you could probably lure him still at QPR, as long as he's not sane, and he can see through the nuttiness that is at Rangers and the madness that's there. He's somebody that you could probably get in, and he is a bit of a gamble, but a calculated one. Although, beware, because Ipswich did the same with, was it Hurst? And they're bottom of the league now, and they got rid of Mick McCarthy. So it's always a risk. It's always a risk, but you're going to need to be a strong personality at Rangers.
Is it interesting, Richard Langley's point about Tim Sherwood perhaps being someone who's got experience of bringing youth players through? That was something he focused on at Spurs, although he had a relatively easy job. Is that one thing that might make him a less disappointing appointment?
That's supposedly why we got Ramsey, right? Because Ramsey was supposed to be the person that really did that. And Sherwood, I don't know the ins and outs of it myself, but Sherwood took a lot of credit for some of those youth players that came in. And now
Harry Kane mainly.
I heard he gave birth to Harry Kane.
Literally. So,
but I think he had a lot of fathers and a lot of mothers by the sounds of it, because I think it's Les, Ramsey and Sherwood that all claim that they gave birth to Harry.
That sounds like Rita Sue and Bob too or something.
So I think we've done that, and that is the one worry about the managers, is we've done them all. We've tried each and every one. We haven't probably tried the one you've just suggested, which is plucking someone.
Hasselbank, but it wasn't Hasselbank's team. It was Rowett's team.
That was Rowett's team, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I personally do think it matters who you bring in. I think the reality is it hasn't mattered in the last few seasons because it's been such a car crash. But we can't have another season where it's a car crash. So it's important to get it right this time, because otherwise we'll be going five managers in five seasons.
Would you bring in?
Well, what about the prospect of Warburton?
No, not for me. I mean, it's funny because he did okay at Brentford and then they got rid of him. He was okay at Rangers. Forest was a bit of a flash in the pan. They got rid of him very fast. But I've heard so many other things about him that worry me.
He normally brings Frank McPartland as well with him as a director of football, and that's not going to happen at QPR because Les is there. I'm not sure that that's the appointment for us that's going to work. I mean, he's 56 now. I really admire what he did about giving his job up in a city.
New ageist? What does it matter how old he is?
I just think maybe I am a little bit. But after having McLaren, a dinosaur in some respects to some people. It's supposed to be this big coaching idea, coming in young players, nurturing the talent on the training ground. But Langers, I think, is right. It's about football. It's full of egos and it's full of identities.
Oh, my word, Gareth. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Eriksen's bigger than me.
Christian Eriksen, he's bigger than you. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than all of us. Is he bigger than Tottenham Hotspur? One thing is for certain, that is a big goal. He has just rocketed an absolute thunderbolt beyond Brighton's goalkeeper, Matt Ryan, 4-1-0. 88th minute, cometh the moment, cometh the man. That's a screamer. What was it, like 25, 30 yards?
I think it went through Lewis Dunk's head, didn't it?
Ali picks the ball up. He sprays it wide to Eriksen. Yeah, it's about 25 yards. And it arrows into the bottom corner, bounces just before it reaches Ryan, which makes it very, very hard to deal with. Tottenham 1, Brighton 0.
It's nice to see what a goal outside of the box looks like for your own team, really. Not that I'm a Tottenham fan, but I can't really remember scoring that. I mean, our finishing has been appalling this year. Really important. I was hoping Tottenham weren't going to win because Pochettino could have been on our list.
Aim high.
Solskjaer, maybe. He might come.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. In the other current Premier League game, it's Southampton 1, Watford 0. The goal came a bit early. If you went to that game, 6 seconds in, you got the back of the net rippling and not a lot since. So you could have gone home at that point. Looking like 2 1-0s tonight in the Premier League. But coming up, we'll be turning our attentions to the next game in the Championship for QPR. It's Nottingham Forest, and we'll be speaking to Lee Clark of a Forest site, Seat Pitch, to work out how they'll be approaching the game. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's that time of the show where we turn our attentions to QPR's next opponent. That's something we'll be doing in just a moment, because I've been remiss and I haven't given you your last clue for this week's Who Are You? So we'll have a double clue.
Last clue? Do we only get two this week?
No, you get a few. It's not your last one, but the last one I should have given you.
Oh, I see.
So far you've had, I began my career at Norwich City. I've had multiple spells with them throughout my career. Your next clue is I've played for over 10 clubs. And your clue after that is I spent a year in South
Korea. Jamie Cureton.
Is correct.
Yeah.
I spent a year in South Korea in 2003. And he just made his 1,000th competitive appearance. For a bonus point, gents, who was he playing for?
When he made the appearance.
Not Braintree.
Wakefield,
not Rugby League.
No, down the south. Wakefield, by the way, the biggest place in England without a football club.
Yeah. But there you see. So Jamie Curtin's going to play for the next season.
Bishop Stortford. Well, there you go. I know it's religious. Easter. There you go.
It is Easter.
It was Easter. Yeah, well, there you go.
Some sort of rebirth.
It was weird. Do you know, we raised money for him. How much did we pay for him? 20 grand? We raised money, bucket collection. I think we paid about 200 grand, actually. But we raised money outside. We were League One at the time. And we raised about 50 grand in the buckets. And he didn't do that well for us. I think he played like 40. He scored 6 goals, but he scored a hat-trick against Coventry at home, and it was phenomenal. It was a really good hat-trick.
6-43.
Yeah, and I think 5 against Coventry. It was really bizarre at the time, but yeah.
One red card.
Oh, well, he's a great player for Norwich at the time, and it was when he came in, he was excited, and yeah, we did. It was I think Holloway was there, and we had to shake the buckets to raise the... You know, it's not a common thing these days, but...
It's pretty extraordinary. He's 43. This season, he's played 50 games for Bishop Stortford. Scored 27
That's unreal.
That is quite That's something unreal. At that
Does
age.
Does he want to play at Rangers again?
Well, given my record goal return for a season is 2.
And like I'm five aside.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm virtually half his age. He's doing very, very well. But next up for QPR, it is Nottingham Forest. They've had a funny little up and down season. Mm. Do you think you can make it more of a down for them coming up this weekend?
Well, we want to play them every week. Now we can win away at Forest. Let's do the double over them this season.
84 attempts? Something like that?
It's the first time we'll ever be able to do the double over them as well. So
yeah, exactly.
We got to win.
I mean, it's 84, something in the 80s, that is the first time we beat them in a City Ground in 84 attempts, which was just, must have been one of the longest runs.
So was that win, when it finally came, was that the highlight of this season?
Yeah, I think when you look at it all, because the cup run, which ended up as being a bit of a damp squib in the end,
yeah.
So you go, that's the one highlight.
Yeah, it's a bit sad, isn't it, really? My mate had Tony Leicester 1-0 that day, and he won 800 quid. I talk a lot about betting, I don't really bet. And he won 800 quid that day, and he also had 1-0 at Reading. Tony Leicester, first goal scorer, last goal scorer.
Why does he have such a thing about Tony Leicester?
It's the only time he's done it. It was just because Tony Leicester was 40-1 at the time, and he was a big German centre half. He was in the opposition box.
So he only done it twice, and both times came in. I think your mate might be a slight fibber.
I sound like Sloth from the Goonies now, like Janet Jackson's come over to.
We've had a late goal for Watford. It's Watford 1, Southampton 1.
Andre, 7 seconds to go.
Andre, yeah, quite. Andre Gray salvaging a point, and it's game over for Spurs. They've done it. They've got the 3 points against Brighton. Big, big result for them. Big result for Brighton as well, who find themselves right down the bottom in a relegation scrap. QPR, of course, safe from such things for this season. Do you think you can do the double over Forest?
I don't know. They
won 3-0 at the weekend, didn't they?
They beat Bournemouth?
Yeah, 3-0.
They've picked up, and my worry is that we won't get any points against Forest or Sheffield Wednesday. It doesn't really matter. Or does it? So I can't, after the Blackburn performance, I can't see what sort of QPR team we're going to put out and what performance we're going to put out. Do you just play contracted players, young players? What do you do now? Does Eustace try and get a result for his own reputation? I mean, what are we playing for? Not a lot, obviously, because we're safe and we don't want to finish 21st. We want to try and finish above Millwall, but it's a bit of a nothing game, isn't it? They obviously haven't down tools, and Martin O'Neill seems to be getting them ready for next season for whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, because is there a bit of loyalty and say to the players out of contract, go and get yourselves another job, go and put on a great performance, and we might get some money for
break your leg
for some of them, more like Freeman, go and have a great performance, we'll get 7 million rather than 5. Or do you put all the youngsters in? But Eustace will still possibly think he's got a chance of it. So
no, he's distanced himself.
They always say that.
I think he's ready for like League One, League Two. We'll swap him with Lincoln for Cowley.
But he might also think, whoever comes in, maybe I can be their number two. So
that's a tough.
He's still got to go out and try and win both games, and he's got to put the strongest team out. I personally would play the youngsters, as many of them as you've got. Samuel definitely now finally starting each game.
Yeah. Easy, I think, again, Langley earlier, Easy looked shot. He came on at Derby and everything he tried really didn't come off. He had a ball, ball was whipped in, I think Freeman went through the keeper. It was crossed in by Wells maybe, and he tried to like chip it to the back post, and then Freeman got caught in a tangle with a keeper, never going to win it against keeper. But every touch Easy had looked poor. So play him the last two games, get him back on the pitch, hopefully get on the score sheet. I think he's got 5 goals this year. I think, we want to try and, or he's got 4, maybe try and get him to 5, but we need to start playing the players that are going to be in next year. And there's a lot that ain't going to be.
Is Bidwell going to be back? Because I'd like to see Manning go further up the field.
Where's Bidwell gone? Where's Leicester gone? Yeah. It's all been like weirdly hush-hush on that front, on the injury front. So has there been a falling out? Not trying to just make speculation, but Leicester's a weird one. It's like he's sick, but he's been sick for ages. Is he homesick? Is he what's going on there?
Was he even on the bench?
No. Him, Bidwell haven't been in the squad. Lynch isn't in the squad now. Obviously, he was injured. And fair play to Lynch. I'm not his biggest fan, but he did hobble through Blackburn. Maybe he was milking it a little bit. Maybe it was a bit hammy acting, but he did kind of make the 90, through the 90 minutes, and he didn't look fit. So, but it's a much of a muchness, really, in some respects, isn't it? I'd try and give some of these players, like Lewis Walker off the bench, a chance, but...
You would hope. Look at Fulham. They get relegated and then they suddenly win the next two. You'd hope we go out a bit more relaxed, nothing to play for, and a bit of freedom, and they actually come out with a result.
I'd rest Freeman. I'd rest Lumley. they look tired. What's the point of playing and putting through the mill?
Do you think that how these last couple of games go is relevant for your season next year, for the fortunes this summer, perhaps even for who comes into the club, or actually does nothing really count?
Not really. I think financially it's not that big a thing if you finish 21st, 20th or 19th for the champ. There's a bit of cash reflected to it, but not too much is going to make a difference. I think a lot of the players aren't going to be there. So again, they're not going to be playing for their places and trying to impress a new manager. The teams you're playing aren't easy teams to play against. Forest seem to be on a bit of a run. Sheffield Wednesday away, we've been there on the last day of the season in good spirits and got promoted, but they're looking good as well.
If you win the next two and you get six more points, you end up 3-4 places higher. It then just helps you a little bit in the betting for next season, where they don't immediately go, oh, QPR finished fourth bottom.
We were one of the favourites to go down this year.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've missed that a little bit. And after the start McLaren had, we were definitely favourites to go down. So it's not all doom and gloom. We have come back a little bit. It's just, it's much of a muchness again in terms of who comes in until they sort out what they're trying to do. I was saying to Julian earlier, it's a bit like the government. What are they trying to do? They've got Brexit, they've got knife crime, they've got universal credit. What housing crisis?
Are QPR, you advocating Sadiq Khan into QPR, Gaz? Is that what you're
saying?
Well,
maybe
Gaz is Theresa May for his own constituency. He's going to start putting his name in the hat.
We want Theresa. We needed Theresa. Oh, Paul Smith scored for Accrington. Go on, Paul Smith. Yeah. Which is good. He's on loan from. It's good to see the loan boys doing well, and that's important as well. The loan lads are Otay, Chair, and Smith. Next year, it's not all doom and gloom. Them boys could come back in after playing a bit of league football. I think Chair to the most successful bit of League Two. And they're going to be in and around the first team squad. So that's not too bad.
Our producer, by the way, is a Stevenage fan who's just started shouting in my ear, going, Chair's a legend.
Unfortunately, we're having him back.
Sit down. Sit down. but yeah, so I think it's not all doom and gloom. Chair has done well on loan. It's just we need to sort out what we're doing. Are we doing training ground? Are we doing stadium? Are we doing academy? Are we doing first team? What are we doing?
You can do all of those.
You can with decent leadership.
Yeah, you can do all of them.
You can do it with decent leadership, and we haven't got that. That's the problem.
Mm, and big goal as well has just gone. Well, it's not just gone in, but the score is big. It's Luton 2, AFC Wimbledon.
Went in the first half.
Went in quite a while ago. But it still counts, as they all do. No one expected Wimbledon to
Are they up then, Luton? Are they up?
It's not finished yet.
It's not finished, but I think they would be. Wimbledon, of course, had the chance to rise to 18th. If they'd won tonight, they'll have to wait, and they could still go down. But Wally Downs' great escape still on. QPR, of course, don't have to do a great escape. And coming up, we will be on the road to nowhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace?
I was doing it. Is that bad?
No, it was early. I've been doing Crystal Palace all night. I've lost it completely. It's a QPR fan show, I can confirm, and I have not lost my marbles.
We're back in the
I
Premiership.
Well, it's the QPR fan show, I was going to say, in the week where QPR have confirmed what has just been described as the most disappointing safety of all time, staying up by losing. But they all count. And you are, okay, you're not back in the Premier League, as I mistakenly suggested. But Championship survival is an achievement of sorts, isn't it?
It is, but it's a bit of a sad achievement that we're at. Because
that's our aspiration.
That's 4 years in a row we've stayed up. It's not exactly very inspiring or exciting.
No, so, but you haven't gone down.
No, so next year is going to be worse. So hopefully next year is the last year that we have to do that.
Let's try and be a bit optimistic about next season. I still maintain we are losing, we're saving a lot of money on the players that are leaving. I added up about 7 million, roughly, just about what people were speculatively paid. It's including loan players. I mean, Hemed and Wells, if you take them into account, you're talking about 50 grand a week there, potentially, at a minimum. So that's over £2 million a year on salary. So I think there's money to play with, but you need to know League One, League Two, and potentially your foreign scouts do a bit of a job. A bit like Norwich with Pookie. I mean, everyone, there's not...
Pookie was free.
For every Pookie, you know, for every Pookie, there's another...
Pookie.
There's another... there's Ted Polsters. No, there's easy. There's poor free transfers. I mean, a Silla's. For every Pookie, there's a Silla.
We paid £1 million for Silla.
And the rest. But this is the thing. So you get lucky. You manage to get one or two in that are decent, and your young players can maintain that. I mean, McGoldrick at Sheffield United. Mm. Who would have had him this year at QPR? Not many people would have had McGoldrick at QPR.
Two goals the other day.
Exactly. And is there, in a team that's going out? Leon Clark.
Leon Clark.
How many Leon Clark's got?
He was a Sheffield United.
He went to Wigan, didn't
he's
he?
Gone off to
but
Wigan,
this yeah. is the thing. It's the Clint Hill, Sean Derry kind of thing that Neil Warnock did. You can look at all the release players in the Championship. It won't be sexy, glamorous players that you're going to get from this, but it'll be one or two season pro grafters that will make a huge difference, and we haven't had that this year. We really haven't had that.
Well, the biggest thing for me is we do need that, agreed, but we did start the season with the youngsters and then had to go and get these emergency loans.
There's a goal that's just got in. Oh, and it has funny. Just got in.
That's funny.
And it's big. It's Wimbledon 2, Luton 2. What a massive goal that could end up being. It's a proper...
I've never seen so many Wimbledon
crap.
Fans. Yeah. That's insane. Well, they're
Milton Keynes.
Oh, stop it. Careful. Stop it. Wally Downs is a Ranger, so you know, good luck. And Luton are going to come back to the Championship, and it's not going to be... pretty times away at Kenilworth Road.
Wimbledon are celebrating like a team who think they're staying up. The players are in with the fans. They're going absolutely wild. Good to see.
Wombles everywhere.
Wombles yeah. everywhere. Wombles everywhere. Wombles everywhere. Talking of fans, talking of players interacting with them, you need a stadium for that. And there's, of course, development on the QPR front in terms of training ground, in terms of stadium. What's the latest?
Yep. Well, the spade is going to hit the ground apparently in May, and there's talk of it being a £30 million project. I don't know quite whether that's just a rumour or where it's coming from, but at least the work is going to start. So that's the first big step in sort of Tony Fernandez's era of patient prosperity that we've been promised for a long time. So it's good news. It's it's finally going to see.
How are we paying for that?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I assume they're paying, aren't we?
Who are they? The Wizards?
The rumours that we're going to be
bombs. The Wizards of Hanwell.
That we're going to have to fork out and the bucket's going round.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is something they've been talking about for 7 years or something.
Longer than that, I think, really.
Yeah, so.
It's all about financial sustainability. It's all about producing players. ECCC about the Elite Player Performance Pathway stuff doesn't really help because... they're still not going to be a Cat 1 Academy because they're not going to have the indoor domey type stuff. So Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal can come and nick your players anyway. So how much is going to do for you? I don't know. I think what it does, it's a little bit better for a first team player coming into the club, going to Warren Farm rather than going to Harlington. And it's what you're saying the club's about. You know, if you've got this 30 million training ground, this is your day-to-day where you're going to be living, breathing, working and living with each other. It's a bit nicer than Harlington, let's be honest, which is Chelsea's old dilapidated training ground at the airport. So I think it says a lot more for the club about where they're at in terms of infrastructure, but what it's going to make for us, I don't know.
It's a big statement, but for you as fans, when we're here talking about, you know, the wage budget being cut massively, huge numbers of players being let go, how tough next season's probably going to be, I appreciate that 30 million quid probably won't all be spent up front and it'll all be very complex and involve loans. But
Julian's paying.
But might that money be slightly better spent elsewhere?
Possibly, but you know, you've got a plan for the longevity of the club, and we can go into the stadium too because those fans are very mixed about whether we should or shouldn't move. But you know, you've got to have a decent ground, you've got to make it attractive to people. And if the promise that Tony had when he came in was that he was going to make us an established Premier League club, you've got to have that. And you look at some of the teams that we're probably jealous of, like Brighton, you know, who years ago had no ground, no home, nothing to do. They started planning this stuff 15 years ago. And, okay, they might get relegated this season. I don't think they will, but they may. But they've got a brand new stadium, training ground, and they've got Premier League too. You've got to think that far ahead. But, of course, if you're in League One, it's harder. Well, we're safe this season. I think we're going to have to, you know, screech it through next year as well, get the stadium sorted as well, or at least a plan for it. And then you can really start feeling like there is a future. Because the last 4 or 5 years, it's felt like we've been in first gear going nowhere.
I think it is a little bit depressing about the game in general, really, because what are your aspirations as a club like us? We could easily turn into a Portsmouth or a Luton and go right the way through. Or you could turn into a Watford, potentially not a Wolves because they've had massive investment, or a Burnley. But finishing seventh in the Premier League is you, apart from the odd Leicester that comes around every 25, 30 years, finishing seventh is your aspiration, and maybe doing a Watford getting to the cup final. But it's like, is that the aim every year? I mean, what would QPR be happy with? A little jaunt into Europe, which has never happened in my lifetime, because I'm very young. Julie, I'm sure you've been.
Yeah, it has been my lifetime. In the 80s, you were born in the 80s.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to games then, thankfully. But like, what is the aspirations? And it's like, year on year, where are you trying to get to? And you want to become sustainable. You can't rely on the Premier League money. Training ground, stadiums, and your non-match day revenue is the way to do it. And I think the club are doing well in doing that, and that gets missed a little bit because of on the pitch. Majority of fans, rightly so, care about the 11 on the pitch, what happens on a Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day we're playing football. But you got to look at, everybody wants Tony Fernandes out because Tony Fernandes is awful and a pariah. Who else is going? Who else is queuing up down South Africa Road to buy this football club?
Paris Saint-Germain.
No one. No one wants to buy it. No one wants to invest in QPR as an ownership. So be careful what you wish for. Lee Hughes is doing a good job as a CEO. We've had many, many bad CEOs, including the last one that, you know, got his pants pulled down over many deals time and time again. Lee Hughes knows what he's doing. The director of football thing is a little bit contentious, but the owners are still investing in the football club. And you've got to take your hats off to them for that, because they've not been there for 5 minutes. They've been there for a long time now. Hasn't always been pretty.
You can definitely, I mean, the heart is in the right place. They want to do the right thing. The thing that people get frustrated with them is they just keep making mistakes, and they keep making the same mistakes. Of course, it's better to have them than some of the charlatans that are out there owning other clubs. You know, would you be happy, Bolton at the moment, you know, they've been bought by the ex-Watford fella.
Yeah, you know, I mean, would you want him?
Would you want him Bassini running your club?
Jeez.
No, so actually, you know, Tony, there may be a
I
lot
want
of
him running
people
a bath. They're not a club.
Yeah, well, I don't know who you like running your bath.
Not bankrupt, the Italian men. But,
so hang on, if it was a wealthy Italian, you'd be very
all day
happy
long, putting the Radox, chucking the ducks, you know? That's the way it goes. But
like a bit of Radox in your bath. Yeah.
Getting old, Julian, I'm like you, you know? Stiffing all the places.
Steady.
Well, it's the end of the season. We're allowed to get a little bit fruity, you know? So
I think Ofcom share the same view.
Are we still on
great
there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry
well,
about
you're
that.
You're always on there.
Luckily, you can hear, but
must
not
be
see.
Must be that Nando's and chill you bought me.
Yeah.
But no, it is careful who you want into the football club. It could be a lot worse. It's not too bad at the moment in time, really, when you break it down. And football is very, it turns very quickly. When we went up under Warnock, we were nearly relegated. We had to win at Palace away. I think Warnock was with us then, and I remember that day really well. And the next season, we were nowhere near promotion, and we walked the league by signing Paddy Kenny, Clint Hill, Sean Derry, and then having Adele Tarab have a worldie. Was he on loan that year? Did we have him on loan?
Adele was on loan the first year.
Did we sign him?
Yeah, we went up. He was ours. Yeah.
Oh, he was ours. He built a team around him, and it wasn't much. It was only a bit of sanity off the pitch for Mamet, Battia and Nishan, who he brought in. And it doesn't take much in football to change. It feels low. It feels depressed at the moment. You know, season tickets are going to be down, and because we're customers.
Yeah, but that's the Championship. You can see that Middlesbrough look pretty poor, and they're just outside the playoffs. Derby don't look very exciting. They're in the playoffs. Bristol City could have terrible runs and then great runs. They're just
outside. It's a poor league this year.
So it is. And so really for me, it's the onion bag. You need that striker. We need someone that's going to score, and we don't have it. Smith's fine to have as some plan B. You know, he proved again against Blackburn. You bring him on, he gets a goal. We need a goal scorer, and we need one quick.
The scary thing for me next year, talking about Luton, right? So you could have Luton back in our league next year. Barnsley, whatever, from Yorkshire, don't really bother us. If Pompey come up, right, and then you got Fulham down, Brentford down, Millwall in our league.
Brighton, mind me.
Maybe Brighton. Cardiff, Swansea. We don't do well in these types of games, these atmospheres. And that's my worry next year. It's going to be very difficult for us to turn on its head. For me, 20 years of bad local derby results.
Which atmosphere did we do well in, by the way?
Which what?
Which atmosphere did we do well in?
When the bath is very, very cold.
The bath of runneth over, you know. But we don't do well in those local games, so that's a worry. Next season's going to be tough. If Pompey come up, Luton come up, Fulham are down, Brentford down, Millwall. Ooh, I'm not looking forward to those fixtures. I am, but we don't
easier
do well in
get,
them.
Easier to get to.
Well, I don't know about
true
that.
Apart from Barnsley.
Don't know about that. But yeah, we're apart from Barnsley. Who cares about Barnsley?
Outside of East Anglia, what is it? Millwall, Brentford, and Bristol City. Everything else is north of the Watford Gap at the moment.
Everything's north, yeah, if it's over that. At the moment, yeah, it's been a very northern league, but we don't do well in those local games, so that's going to be a problem. Johnny, question for you. If your club gave the naming rights to the stadium to a charity, how would you feel?
I think I would nominally feel very good about that, but the question should be, if the financial aspect were really, really relevant to your club. I mean, I'm an Arsenal fan.
How much does the Emirates pay for that?
Exactly. I'm sure they play a vast amount, but equally, if Arsenal were to lose that money, Arsenal aren't at a point in their existence where it could be potentially really damaging. I think from a QPR point of view, it's a wonderful thing to support a charity in that way.
A local charity. As well.
But equally, if you're looking at a summer where you're losing half your squad and you need to try and get people in, is this a point at which to be being charitable?
Try a different question. Who would pay
exactly
any money for the
That's
stadium?
The question. We've reviewed this.
So you just think no one's paying, so they've decided, let's spin it.
There's not many stadiums. There is a spin.
In the Championship, how many stadiums have got naming?
Not many now. Sales. University of Bolton Stadium. I mean, that's sexier than the Bath, that is. The iPro got given back. I think they had a 10-year deal. Peterborough said that weird deal. So I think it's a good thing to do, and it's contentious, but hey.
Yeah.
The contentiousness is the fact the club hasn't really communicated how, why, and for how long. I think it's now come out that it's just for a year.
Yeah.
I think they could have turned around.
That's okay.
That's fine. Yeah, if you turn around and say we're giving it away for a year for a local charity, and we think this, you know, even if you were honest and said this is probably a good PR thing for the Hammersmith and Fulham Council,
yeah,
and we can't and sell others. It. We've tried, we can't sell it.
Other councils
then
available.
I think people would go fair enough.
Forest 3, QPR 1.
That's your prediction.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're going to lose 2-0.
2-0. We end on a negative note, but Gareth is keen and he's heading home to his bath. Join us next week on the QPR Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.